Final hour, Friday edition, Robbie and Rexrode. Welcome back in, Joe Rexrode, the venerable, legendary, the great Mark Howard here in the studio for Robbie Stanley, who is in the Grand Canyon. I'm sorry, who is at the Grand Canyon.
You did it again there, Joe.
Is it not possible to be in the Grand Canyon?
I think you can make your way into certain parts of the Grand Canyon.
Okay, then you would be in the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And I'm not saying like he fell into the Grand Canyon.
That would be bad.
Yeah. I mean, that was a Brady Bunch, right? Wasn't that a Brady Bunch where they're in the Grand Canyon?
Family vacation was definitely part of it.
Yeah.
I don't remember a Brady Bunch.
No?
I could be wrong.
I swear there was obviously the Brady Bunch. This is great stuff.
The Griswold Ryan, family.
Don't ask me.
The Griswold family, yes.
They stopped and looked for a minute and drove on. I swear, someone helped me out on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I am sure there was a Brady Bunch episode where it wasn't now the tarantula and all that stuff, that was in Hawaii. And then they also went to the amusement park, and they had like the Scooby-Doo poster.
Yeah.
It was Mike's. Yeah, all right. Anyway. So help me out on that. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But regardless, we're here. We're talking about the Preds. We're talking about the lineup. People are upset. And so here's another. Rube Fleetwood on Twitter asked, did he hit his head? Colton DeStefano says, John Hines should never coach hockey at any level ever again. I mean, God, I'm sorry. If you can't see why Ellie Tolvanen would be a point of discussion right now, like, come on. I'd put him in, but it's not easy.
A little critical thinking here, people.
My goodness. And people are so angry. They're so fast to be mean on Twitter. You know, it's just.
It's like you've just now discovered this.
Yeah, I know. Well,
Twittiots.
Oh, I like that. Well, like Mark was saying earlier about Twitter, and I've gotten in way too many spats on Twitter with people, wasted way too much time. A huge thing on Twitter, I don't know if you do this. See, some people block people, but when you block someone, to me, you're giving them the satisfaction of being blocked. Like, I bothered him so much that he blocked. But if you mute them, do you ever mute people?
No, I didn't know how to do that initially.
Well, this is one of my great Twitter pieces of advice, okay? You just mute someone, and what it does, they have no idea, and they're still screaming at you, but you don't see it. And it's fantastic. And, I mean, I've muted a lot of people, and it's like, hey, this is great. Like, they don't even exist to me anymore. And great.
The mute button is a beautiful thing on Twitter.
Well, and I know this would shock you guys, you know, knowing me like you do, but I rub some people the wrong way occasionally and get it on Twitter big time to where my feelings just aren't hurt. I'm spitting out teeth, and I just realized that. Just wasn't worth it.
No, it's not. Especially when you get on there and all of a sudden now you're swearing on Twitter and it's just it's not worth it. But some of this reaction, it's a little much. I think that – I mean, look, what are some of the alternatives? Let's think about some of the possibilities to be in this lineup. I don't think Rocco Grimaldi would be in, but I think you could make a case for him. I think you could make a case for a Nick Cousins. Brad Richardson has looked pretty good. If you were prioritizing physicality, then I think you could really make an argument for some of those guys. I mean, Matthew Olivier's back now. I don't see how he's in the lineup unless he's on his line, and I don't see how he gets back on his line right now the way Tanner Jeannot is playing. But there are other guys here. There are options.
Yeah, boy, Rocco Grimaldi is a reflection of how the identity of this team has really changed. You know, a lot more physical, you know, a lot bigger, you know, heavier, and that's it's worked for him.
I mean, think about the fact that not only 2 years ago was it the worst power play. I'm turning away when the power play is on. Like, I don't want to watch, okay?
All right,
it was so bad. But also, like, he was their
best one.
It got
to the point where parents should have hid their children's eyes from the ice.
Parental advisory lyrics thing on the Preds power play. Yeah. But also, Rocco Grimaldi was flat out their best forward in that series. It's 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Dante Fabbro is a rookie revelation. And there's another guy, by the way. We didn't get into that with Hines, but that's another. And again, he said it.
Well, he did say it. Or, I'm sorry, Hal said it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but what Hines did say, and it's not like we didn't pretty much know, but I mean, he said it like the guys on the ice Monday are people who had to prove things. So Carrier not on that list, you know. Fabbro is, and he should be. And frankly, I'm really interested to see what happens with Fabbro here. I'd guess he wouldn't be in game one.
Yeah, I have long said that Fabbro should have been in Milwaukee all of last year or the year before.
Well, look what it did for Carrier.
Yeah.
You're saying Fabbro's first full NHL season, like after the Star Series,
should have been
there?
Yes.
And not on the second pair?
No.
I mean,
I didn't think he was ready.
They've had a lot of guys, obviously, who time in Milwaukee has done them good.
Yeah.
You know? But regardless, at this point, he's an interesting player. I still feel like he's got a lot to offer, and he's not at his ceiling. I think he's going to be good, but I don't know right now if he's in that six.
Yeah, defensemen, it can be so – you got to be patient with them. It takes time to develop a lot of them. You know, some come in with so much, you know, offensive skill, you know, like a Klingberg, that he can overcome his defensive deficiencies. But other guys, you know, need some seasoning. And the Predators, you know, were thin on defense. And so they had to throw Fabbro in there. But I thought Fabbro should have been in Milwaukee. And that's my personal opinion.
Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com is popping right now. First of all, very important. Well, we actually have conflicting stories here. Keith says Peter got lost in the Grand Canyon. Michael from Hermitage says Bobby and Cindy got lost and they met up with some Native Americans. Someone got lost. But so I was right about the fact that the Brady Bunch is in the Grand Canyon. Chad from Chattanooga, you can't say Tolvanen should be a lock in the most important games of the season when he was essentially a no-show during the most important stretch of the season the last month. I wouldn't say he was a no-show for the last month, but what was it? It's 1.8 games, right? Right, Porth? Since coming back from injury, is that correct? 1.8 games for Tolvanen?
I think it's either 7 or 8, but yeah.
So, I mean, at least there's a counter-argument to the...
No. Excuse me, it's in his last – 1 point in his last 7 games. He scored in his first, like, shift back in Chicago, and that's the only goal that he has scored since coming back from injury. But I think he had a couple of games with points right after the injury, but in his last 7 games, he has 1 point.
Not just a drought, a Craig Smithian drought.
Wow, Craig Smithian.
And I love Smithy, I do, but nobody got any colder than him.
Yeah, well, he's done some good things. This year,
he's been Craig Smith in Boston.
Yeah. He's been Craig Smith in Boston. Yeah.
He hasn't missed an empty net, though.
Wayne on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
You know he went to high school with DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees?
Who did?
Odd fact, Craig Smith.
Really? No. But by the way, when you bring up interesting facts, so we've learned in the last 2 days about Mark Howard. One, he struck out Barry Bonds when he was a teenager. Two, he went to high school with the dude who plays Mike Damone in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which has got to be one of the coolest things I've ever heard. And now today I find out he's a golfing buddy with Marty Castillo, who is like one of my favorite underrated 84 Tigers. Amazing. You got to write a book. Wayne on the text line says, Olivier will definitely be on the third line with Holla and Richardson. Tolvanen will be a healthy scratch. Book it, Twitter idiots. I don't think Olivier is going to be on the third line. I don't think there's any chance of that. Do you?
No.
Olivier's been great this year. He's been a revelation. I think he's got a future.
I think he's on standby if
somebody gets
something
hurt
happens
in the fourth line.
Right.
But that he's on that line. If he's in this lineup, he's on
the fifth line.
He's on the what?
He's on the fifth line, meaning you're not in one of the top four.
Oh, I got you.
Carry on.
I get it now. Okay. We got some more confirmation. Baked beans hidden in a flashlight in that Brady Bunch episode. So I'd forgotten that one. Chad in Hendersonville says, Preds have a much better physical presence this year for the playoffs. They've been pushed around the last couple seasons. Gives them a chance. Go big against them. You know, that's where it's interesting. Like you said, first of all, I mean, it's matchups, right? Now, obviously, you get last change. You're Brind'Amour the first 2 games. I mean, you're matching up with people. I guess, you know, to me it's like, and you can mix and match lines. You can change things up. You're never going to match their speed. You have to beat them with your physicality, right? Overcoming their speed.
Yes.
But I could still make a case for it's okay to have a fast guy here and there, right?
Oh, absolutely. But my good friend, former associate head coach Brent Peterson would say they got to move their feet.
There you go. Brent Peterson, by the way, I didn't know this story. Yeah. So Middle Tennessee, 33-0. I didn't know this whole story. He coached.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
33-0, and they didn't get invited in the tournament.
If his medical condition had been different, Brent would have been a head coach in the NHL. One of the best human beings I've ever met in this business. Just love him.
He's awesome.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the goalie situation for the Preds here on Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. Joe Rex Show, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth producing. And the text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com is popping, and I'm heartened by how many of you are Brady Bunch fans. So many great details from that Brady Bunch episode on the text line. Someone, Chris in Nashville, met Judge Reinhold at Banana Republic and Opry Mills a few years ago. So that's also a cool story. We have a lot of cool stories. Actually, we're going to get to some of Mark Howard's best stories in this segment because, Mark, you brought up Pekka Rinne and the Monday evening that I think this city stopped and noticed and really embraced. As a great moment, also as a better moment because it wasn't prepackaged to me, like because it wasn't planned, it was more spontaneous and it was more, I think to me it's more real than some of those situations like that. So I have a couple questions for you. First of all, would you say that night? Because you had some strong comments on it yesterday on what you thought about it. Would you put it in your top five of things you've witnessed? That's a big list. That's a tough list to crack. And then also, I'd like to hear that top five.
It would not make my top five. It would make my top five Predators moments, but not my top five. No way. Maybe top 10.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear it. Now you've opened me to two lists. I'd like to hear your top five Preds. I'd like to hear your top five overall.
Wow.
I'm just piling it up on you over there, Mark.
All right, you got
really putting him on the spot there.
Oh wow, man.
Well, okay. For Preds, we'll go later. Overall, you have some. Yeah. You have it in mind. Okay.
Yeah, because there are a few with the Preds. I've got to get the dates down exactly. Pick an overtime win in 2017. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
The double overtime game definitely was that.
The 16.
Yeah, 16 rather. Yeah.
Right. That was ridiculous.
Triple overtime.
Triple overtime.
Rather, yeah.
Mike Fisher.
The Mike Fisher goal.
Yeah. Game 4 against San Jose in 2016.
Yeah. Wow. 2017. The clinching game against the Ducks. Which, you know, I said it yesterday, that series will go down as one of the most physical. I mean, you hate to exaggerate and start talking about bloodbaths and everything like that, but that game, if it didn't end careers, it altered careers. It was so physical. And you talk to the players involved, a guy like James Neal, who was in some wars when he was with the Penguins against the Flyers, and he said the Predators Ducks series was easily, more exacting than anything that happened to him in Philadelphia than in Pittsburgh. Winning the first series when they beat Anaheim, that was such a huge threshold. I mean, they're a bunch. I don't know if I can rank them exactly. The year they beat the Red Wings in five games. I mean, the Red Wings were their white whale. And I remember being behind the bench and being so nervous. I didn't even want them to go to me on television. It was just unbelievable. There was so much tension down there. The first year they were in the playoffs, David Legwand's goal against the Red Wings here just blew the house up. J.P. Dumont's goal against the Sharks, I remember, lit the house up, although they lost that series.
That moment still goes down as one of probably the top three or four loudest moments I've ever heard Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah.
And, Joe, to give you the context on the Dumont goal, the Preds had this parade of penalties to the penalty box against San Jose. They got a five-minute major, and they were on the penalty kill for like five or six straight minutes. They kill it off, but towards the end of that, Dumont goes down on a two-on-one, score shorthanded in a must-win game two, and that place just went bonkers. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so funny because being here, you know, from the time the Preds came in, we had all these great regular season moments, you know, some pretty memorable games. That, what was that, 8 or 9 to 1 game against the Red Wings?
8-0.
Yeah.
They scored five goals in the first 12 minutes.
And three when I was in the bathroom, and I'm supposed to be the game reporter. I'm not kidding. Went in, it was 2-0, came out, it was 5. I'm like, what happened? but anyway, and then, you know, the moments in the playoffs, you know, were just incredible. And of course, oh gosh, I mean, with the draft, the All-Star, getting to play a big part in the All-Star game. I did the TV show on there that was like 2 hours. That was one of the biggest moments of my TV career. You know, the Predators have just brought so much to this city, and in some way, somehow, you've got to include the outdoor action, you know, during the finals. I mean, in 17. I mean, it was organic. It was unbelievable. And I always laughed at people who said, oh, yeah, that didn't surprise me. I go, really? I said, yeah, that just blew me away. I mean, I remember the years when hockey was coming here, and you had people going, I'm never going to go to a hockey game. And now the Predators, you know, I'll always say, is they're really the heart and soul of sports in Nashville. The Titans certainly might be the most popular just by sheer numbers. But Predators fans and the way that the city has adopted them, there is a special relationship between the Predators and this city. I'll always maintain that, and you'll feel it in the building next week. You will. Their fan base, you know, is awesome. And it's something they've earned. They've nurtured it. They've helped build it. But hopefully next week is one of the times where they'll, you know, definitely enjoy the benefits, the dividends. As far as other things, yeah, to me, this, you know, maybe the singular sports moment was the Music City Miracle. I mean, that just,
yeah, I figured that might be high on that list.
You just can't replace that. And then I had 2017 Preds, because I don't know if you could pick out one specific moment. You know, the Vols winning the national championship in 98, Vanderbilt winning the College Baseball World Series. I think a lot of people underestimated that impact. The Titans winning, in no particular, Titans winning at New England and Baltimore in 2019. MTSU upsetting Michigan State in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The NFL draft, again, something I don't think any of us could have imagined. We maybe thought it would be big, but when we actually saw it, you know, when you saw Lower Broadway and that shot of how far down it went, just gave, if you lived in this city, gave you chills. I also, for me personally, I covered the 1992 NLCS, the Francisco Cabrera moment. I was right down there on the field when it happened. That was pretty cool. And I wrote down Barry Goheen, where if you're a Vanderbilt basketball fan from the 1980s, you'll remember Barry Goheen hit 5 or 6 game-winning shots. Nobody's done it before or since. It's an incredible story. Barry is a great guy. Went on to be a successful attorney, really interesting person, because he never really, thought about basketball beyond college. He was, you know, like a Vanderbilt athlete, was going out in the world. But Those are just a few, and I'm sure I missed some.
Yeah. Wow. That's a heck of a list.
That's a good list there.
That's a very good list. Yeah, you know, I will say that 2017, I talked earlier on the show how, oh, yeah, no, you can schedule that. We'll be able to take these trips, right? Tell you what, you know, that's two straight months. I used to think that, like, Michigan State making a Final Four run, you can never count on that. But they've made a few with Izzo, like a five seed, you know, where you didn't expect it at all. And you've got a few weeks there where you're like, man, I wasn't ready for this. Was not at all ready for the Preds to go two straight months every day. I mean, every day you're there, right? You're covering it. I don't know that I've had more fun. I've been lucky, been able to do a lot of cool things in sports. That 2 months was grueling. You got a morning column every day. Yeah, hey, how about let's write about PA Parenteau today, right?
Oh,
but you know what? That was so much fun, and I agree with you. People can say, well, yeah, of course, though the city embraced it, but that scene, I mean, that was outrageous.
Now, I got to the year the Titans went to the Super Bowl. You know, I went down there, you know, when I was working at Channel 5, and I was on the air. Good God, I was on maybe 6 hours a day.
Right.
It was, by the time we got to Sunday, Hope Hines, you know, was our main anchor, and like my dad was so sick. I mean, he had no voice left. He was sick as a dog. I mean, everybody was just emotionally just spent. And you sort of felt that way covering the Preds in 2017. It was great. It was exhilarating. But you realized how long that season was. And nobody's complaining. Believe me, don't want any sympathy or whatever. But you realize that's a long freaking season.
It's a grind. Yeah, right. I mean, then you think about, like, if you're one of those guys – and you have that much more hockey, that many more hits. You know, I mean, that's why, to me, the Stanley Cup, I think it's harder. I think you can make the case that's the hardest thing to win because of the unpredictability combined with the grueling nature of trying to get there.
And I just remember how the Predators were the next year. And just, you know, the short rest period, back to training camp. And, you know, it's just such a gauntlet to run. But you're right. I mean, and the games, you know, just the intensity level, the level of physicality. Yeah, I don't know how those guys do it.
On the regular season front, that next year, you know, because, of course, you remember the playoff stuff.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that people will always remember. You guys have got it in your brains. They'll never leave. But that one game, the game here against Pittsburgh the next year, remember this game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those that is, like, for a regular season game, like, man, that was special.
Kyle Turris' debut.
Turris, yeah, yep. I mean, but wow, that's a heck of a list. I'm trying to think of, yeah, the Michigan State Middle Tennessee. That's one for me too. That was a front page of the Tennessean when I didn't work for the Tennessean yet.
Yeah.
So, man, so many good memories and more good memories to be made this week. Especially for people who are good at picking games, because we're going to do weekend winners next. So, Mark, you're going to step in for Robbie.
Okay.
So, Robbie actually needs some help, and
he needs a lot of help.
If you give him too much help, we may have to put it under protest. But we'll see.
I mean,
how it goes.
I mean, if he goes 6-0, we can fib it with Robbie next week and was like, yeah, Mark, he went 3-for-3 for you.
Yeah.
That he doesn't feel like he got six wins in the column.
I might give him four. Give him four of the six. So there we go. Weekend winners coming up next on Robbie and Rex on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Welcome back. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth. And here we are, weekend winners for Friday. Mark is going to pick for Robbie. And already, Ryan Porth, I need you to remind me of what we are doing. I know that we've talked about this, but we are doing Preds-Canes game one for sure. We are going to return to the Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, who has more strikeouts. Because Jack Leiter, Vanderbilt has made it official. He's back in the rotation at Ole Miss. Saturday, that's a big deal, by the way, for Vanderbilt. You know, when you miss a start. And
big deal for your colleague Keith Law at the Athletic, who whined in a column about Jack Leiter being yanked.
Yes, I did. I did notice that. I did. Keith was here for the Bama weekend. Yes. So, that's a good point. But you never know. Guy misses a start. What does that mean? Tim Corbin kind of downplayed it, but he's back in. So that's on. And the third thing is
the Nashville SC Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, thank you.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Nashville SC Real Salt Lake.
Not real. Real.
Yeah, not real.
Or not.
Real.
Also not the fake one either.
Right, that's right. So there you go. Those are our three games. And then, so here's the thing, Mark, and this is something I probably would have been kind to tell you during the break. Then you get three picks of your own. So we'll give you some time to look around. Now you can pick anything, baseball, hockey, basketball, whatever you want out there. Typically, I mean, Porth tries to, like, go money line, but we like to use the point spread. If possible, just to make it a little more challenging.
I've done the money line, like, twice.
Yeah, we'll never let you live it down. So let's go through last week, first of all. It was a good week for Robbie, by the way. Robbie had the best week. He went 4-2. So we also have a lock. Of your six, you get a lock. You have to take one lock, that's worth 2 points. Robbie went 4-2. He did not get his lock, but 4-2 for 4 points. Porth, you went 3-3. The only person who got your lock, so you got 4 points as well.
Cool.
I went 3-3 with 3 points. Didn't get my lock for just the second time. So the standings as of today, I'm 41-25, 50 points, 9-2 on locks. Porth, 34-31, 38 points, 4-7 on locks. And Robbie, 28-38, 33 points, just 5 behind you. 5-6 on his locks. And Mark, you can help Robbie close the gap a little bit. So let's go to our first one. And Robbie's very good about mixing it around. I'm not going to do that. We're just going to go in the same order every time, okay? Gosh darn it. So I'm going to start with Porth and we're going to go this way, okay?
Okay.
So Preds Canes, Monday, game one. Ryan Porth, what have you got?
Now, for the Preds games, we do money line.
Yeah, so it's just straight up the winner, Mark. Okay, so
all right.
So there you go. Ryan Porth.
I am going to go with the Preds money line in game one.
Going with the Preds.
The mojo at least carries over into game one. We'll see if it carries over throughout the rest of the series.
I mean, it's a little homerish here, but I'm going the same way. I am going to take the Preds. I think that they come out, pull the surprise in game one, make things very interesting right away. What do you say, Mark?
I say Carolina, responding to the two losses in Nashville, come out with vim and vigor and win the game 4-2.
There you go. You saved it from being just absolute.
Can't go totally homer here.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right. Nashville SC coming off its first win of the season after three straight draws on the road for the first time. A little bit of a later match here. And by the way, let me say this. That ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday. Nashville SC hits the road to face Real Salt Lake. That is pregame 8:15. Match starts at 8:30. What say you, Ryan Porth, Nashville SC? You picked them to win last week. Finally got it right. What do you say?
I think I've picked Nashville SC every single week. And then they tied the first three, and I just kept going back to the well because at some point they were going to win a game.
So we keep coming back to this homer topic.
I'm going to go with Salt Lake, Nashville SC's first road game of the road match of the season. I'm going to go with Salt Lake.
Yeah, I'm going to say they get clean sheeted by Salt Lake, 2-0.
All right,
throwing in the clean sheet.
Very good. That's a good term.
Clean sheets are nice.
Well, I'm going to throw in the term draw because it's been very good to me this year. Yeah. I've been picking some draws, and I think that Nashville SC, I'm seeing a 1-1 draw to be 1-0-4 on the season.
Okay.
All right. We go to Jack Leiter. Kumar Rocker, of course, gets to start tonight at Ole Miss. Jack Leiter back in the rotation tomorrow at Ole Miss. Who gets more strikeouts, Ryan Porth?
At some point, will get this one right. Right? I mean, I think I've missed every single.
Have you missed this every time? Is that right?
Leiter Rocker prop. Give me Kumar Rocker. or Kamara Rocker?
I'm also going to go Rocker. You know, it's great for Vandy that Leiter's back in. Obviously, he's had some struggles. I mean, really, he's a freshman. He's a freshman who's about to get picked, you know, in the top three in the draft, basically. A freshman in terms of experience. He's going through the grind for the first time. I figure that it's a short leash for him in his start, so I'm going to go Rocker.
By the way, you hoping for Rocker to get drafted by the Tigers so he can play with Harold Castro so Kumar and Harold can go to White Castle?
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even thought about that. I had not even thought about that angle. Yes. For many reasons.
I'm going Leiter.
Okay.
Rest.
Got some rest. Got the nasty stuff.
By the way, kind of too bad that we couldn't have seen Rocker or Leiter against Gunnar Hoglund, the ace of Ole Miss, who's having Tommy John surgery. He was another
great
lock first-round pick.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. All right, so now we do our independent picks. Whatever you like. You know, Porth has gone with hockey a lot this year, and it's been very, very bad to him. Oof. But Porth, we'll start with you.
How about in the spirit of that, I start with hockey? Game one, Bruins Caps tomorrow night in D.C. The over-under is 5.5. In their 8 meetings this season, the over has hit 6 times. The Capitals' goaltending has been shaky this season. Tuukka Rask hasn't been playing much since he returned from injury, although I would expect him to get the start. I'm going to go over. Over 5.5, Bruins Caps game one.
All right. And you back it up with reasoning. I like that. So I think you. I feel better about you on this hockey pick. All right. As usual, as always, I go all NBA when it comes to these things. You've got, in fact, I've got 2 Golden State picks here this week. But I'm going to start tonight. The Warriors at home against the Pelicans. The big game, of course, is coming up Sunday. This one, actually, I don't think it means anything, but Golden State is favored by 2. Golden State is rolling. They beat the Jazz. They beat the Suns this week. Steph Curry's going off. Give me Golden State minus 2. Make it my lock.
Guarantee. Interesting.
Mark Howard?
I got the Grizzlies minus 5.5 against Sacramento. Definitely take them. And I like New Orleans Pelicans tonight against Golden State.
And you want to throw that into your picks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So you're doing Pelicans plus 2. Directly opposing me. I like it. Okay.
And I'm going to take the Islanders in game 1 against the Penguins.
Islanders money line?
Yes.
All right.
Totally belying the belief of the prognosticators who love Pittsburgh, and understandably so.
Well, we'll allow the money line on an underdog, right? I mean, that's probably the fair way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had the BYU money line against UCLA, or excuse me, UCLA money line against BYU.
There you go. Okay, so now, do you have a lock in there, Mark? Looking for a lock.
Oh, I'll give you a lock tonight. The Yankees and Corey Kluber over the Orioles.
Well, of your picks, which would you pick as a lock? Or you can make that one of your picks.
I'll make that. Okay, I'll make that one of my picks. And yeah, Corey Kluber
minus 1.5, or money line.
Well, money line, it's easy because they're 200.
Well, we don't like to make it easy. Minus 1.5.
Minus 1.5.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
All right.
Yankees love Camden Yards.
They are very successful against the Orioles.
They are.
Many teams are successful against the Orioles.
Although Gleyber Torres, who owned the Orioles last year, is on the IL with COVID-19.
All right, so which of your picks are you erasing then? Grizzlies, Pelicans, or Islanders?
Well, I want Grizzlies, Pelicans, Islanders, and the Yankees and Kluber.
Well, we can only pick 3. The other. We can't NBA. Give Robbie. We can't give Robbie another. We can't give Robbie that
well,
many.
Well,
those
are 3 games. I had 2 NBA games.
Right.
So just give me the 1 NBA game, the Golden State game.
Okay. So we'll get rid of the Grizz. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Ryan Porth, your second independent pick.
My second independent pick. I'm going to channel my inner Joe Rexrode.
Uh-oh.
Go to the association tonight. The Wizards have everything to play for tonight, and the Cavs have nothing to play for. It's a big spread, but give me the Wizards minus 8.5.
Guaranteed.
And that is my lock. The Wiz Kids.
I like it. I like it. I am going to, of course, stay with the association. And, boy, Magic Sixers. Sixers by 13.5. Magic, oof, absolute garbage.
Sixers got smoked last night. I like that's a good rebound play.
Stunningly, they did. Angry team. I'm going to go ahead and give the 13.5 with the Sixers.
Oof. Okay. All right. My last independent pick, going to baseball tonight. I've been picking some West Coast unders lately. I'm going to go back to that well.
Okay.
Dodgers Marlins tonight under 7.5 with Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers against the Marlins. And then the Marlins have one of their better pitchers on the mound in Sandy Alcantara. So I will go under 7.5.
Definitely the over-under guy of weekend winners.
Dodgers, the other night when they came back against Seattle, I think that ignited them. I think they're going to win like 10 in a row.
They have been in total cruise control to start the year.
They were just awful.
And I'm going to go Sunday. Now, we do not have lines, but I'm going money line. I'm going. I've thought a lot about this. I can't wait for this game. Grizzlies, Warriors, 8-9 game. I'm going to go with the Grizzlies. Money line straight up to pull the upset at Chase Center Sunday, 2:30 ESPN. Give me the Grizzlies money line in a huge game Sunday.
Interesting. So that's opposing my called shot that the Warriors are going to beat the Grizz on Sunday.
It is. That it is. We got a lot of opposing picks.
What about Lakers Spurs?
I don't know.
I think the Lakers will win.
I would think so too.
It'd be great if they didn't.
Oh, it would be big fun.
It would make my life.
Says the Celtics fan. Yeah. All right, that was weekend winners. Thank you, Mark. Nice work. And Robbie, really, as he glamps away in the Grand Canyon, really hopes that you bring him back from last place. When we come back, Robbie and Rex start our final segment of Friday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Welcome back to Robbie and Rex Road, final segment of Friday. You know, things have been going all right last couple of days, Ryan Porth, but you knew there'd be some kind of a mishap.
That was definitely a mishap.
Me not realizing we were back, then having my mic on and making a weird sound as we came in. But, hey, let's see if we can keep it going because we have a caller, Bicycle Boy, with a message for Mark. Bicycle Boy, how are you?
I am better than I deserve. And good morning, fellas.
BB, Mark, what's up?
As a long time sports radio listener, it's great to hear you back on in the morning again. And I just wanted to remind you, Mark, that the Tour de France starts a little early this year. It's at the end of June. And so I wanted to make sure you knew so that you could set your VCR and get that recorded.
Well, and Bicycle Boy, you should be excited by the fact that we're hoping that cycling, the sport, isn't tainted by the dirtiness of horse racing.
I'm sure the horses have taken some lessons from some of the cyclists.
Exactly. Really.
Great to hear you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Bicycle Boy. So, yeah. Bicycle Boy, legitimately a big Tour de France fan?
Yeah,
you?
He's a big cycling fan.
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
That's I kind of got that. I kind of got that, you know, from the so you're not DVRing the Tour de France.
I am not, but
or VCRing it.
Yeah, really. I haven't had a VCR in a while.
Yeah. Well, you and I could talk about the big debate of VHS versus Betamax. Remember, you know, that
yeah,
was
exactly.
Porth Beta. Yeah, no.
No. When was that?
Oh, we're talking. I mean, you're going. That's probably even early '80s. I mean, I'd say Beta was probably about phased out in about '85. But there were some people who had the Betas. People had the VHS. We chose right back then. So
I was born in '89. So
yeah, long
but
after.
It was kind of funny that because he chimed in, and we were talking about when the 30 for 30 on Lance Armstrong came out. And I said, to me, Lance Armstrong is a subhuman. I mean, he did a lot for cancer, but his justification for cheating is ridiculous. And you know.
Well, and the way he's handled it since then too.
The careers, you know, through the whole process, you know, trying to ruin the careers of the people who wrote stories on him, how he just tried to destroy people.
Ugh. Yeah, absolutely. No, ridiculous. Give a little tip for folks out there on Preds fans. Vingan, I tweeted it out. He's got a big piece in The Athletic. See, sometimes I promote other people's work. Porth.
Yes.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you. But it's a good piece from Vingan and a little bit more detail on John Hines. And we talked earlier on the show with John about the turnaround. Obviously, you go back to that road trip. But specifically here in the piece, a little snippet here, he gathered those forwards together and was showing them clips of people like Barkov, Huberdeau, Braden Point, Stamkos, and clips about clips of them, you know, in the defensive zone, clips of them and what they do apart from their skill and their scoring, and saying. So the quote from the story is, what's it going to take for you guys to commit, understand that this is how you need to play at this level to win? Why don't you do this? Why will we not commit to this? Tell me the benefit of not doing it this way. That's a quote that he told them, which is very interesting. And obviously, it took a lot of doing. I mean, there's a little bit of, obviously, you know, the injuries I think actually helped, right? And so there's, you can look at some good fortune here, but probably not enough credit for him through all this. It starts with Soros. But I think John Hines gets a lot.
5-5-5. That's what coaches ask. Five players in every zone. You know where the puck is, and that's what they ask.
Still a lot of anger. Speaking of Hines, still, I mean, there's some bad words on my.
The guy should be in the running for the Jack Adams Award, and people want to run him out of town.
I mean, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. This Twitter handle is at Elite Tolvanen, but it's, are you bleeping kidding me, John Hines? You bleeping, bleep, bleep, responding to my tweet. So people are mad at even the suggestion of Elite Tolvanen not being alive. I mean, I think it's, you said it Monday, Porth, or maybe Tuesday. Like, that's who I'm looking at.
Well,
it's a possibility.
The sign that told me that he may not be in the lineup was him skating with Rem Pitlick in that Monday finale. Not to read too much into it, but he put Tolvanen on a line with Pitlick and Grimaldi. And Pitlick and Grimaldi probably aren't in the playoffs. Nothing
Maybe says, that's the line.
Nothing says healthy scratch more than Pitlick and Grimaldi.
Exactly. So those were dots that I connected back, you know, earlier this week, and I was surprised to hear John Hines go maybe that far this morning, though, yeah. Saying that he, you know, basically admitting that he has a decision to make whether or not Tolvanen's going to be in the lineup.
Well, I appreciate the honesty, and yes, I will compare it positively to, like, Peter Laviolette. Oh, he's not talking about the goalie now again, is he? He's still not talking about the goalie.
He'll never talk about the goalie.
Letting the entire hockey media go with the stupid Soros thing before game three, when we all knew damn well that Pecorino was going to start, and all he had to do was end it at any point, just say the clear thing we all know, but instead we ran with it. So I appreciate.
Are we playing hockey tonight?
But Lavi never revealed his goalie, ever.
But that's just stupid.
Ever.
Yeah, but at that point.
I learned in game three of his tenure when I asked him, is Hutton or Rene in tonight? And he looked me dead in the eye and said, I'm not going to reveal to you who our starting goalie is tonight. Right then and there.
Just stare right into your soul, didn't he?
Stared into my soul and said, I'm not going to tell you.
He had a hell of a glare, I'll tell you that much. All right, so Mark Howard, we got a minute left. So we've learned that you golfed with Marty Castillo. So wait, was that a Tigers affiliate, Evansville, back then?
Yeah, Evansville was a AAA affiliate.
That's right. Yeah, of course. Johnny Walkenfuss? We could probably talk all day.
That was way before you.
All right. I'm sure I could come up with some more. Barbro Garbay?
Barbro Garbay was there.
There we go. All right.
Our group was me, Howard Johnson, Hojo, and Marty.
Yeah, the Hojo trade to the Mets.
And Glenn Wilson.
Yeah, Glenn Wilson, absolutely. Big trade for the Tigers back then. Also, though.
We went to Sam Houston State.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. But, I mean, honestly, the fact that you are buddies with Damone, I think, might be the coolest thing.
I went to high school with him. I don't want to sit here
you're buddies.
And exaggerate my relationship.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story there, Mark.
Exactly. Absolutely. But thanks for being here. We've had a blast. Thanks for listening, everybody.
My pleasure.
Darren Donick and Chase is next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.